Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. Paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime, and bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my shells and kicked in my face, but I've come through.
And I need to go home. All right, guys, welcome back, and man, I mean, even though it's been 2 days, I it's just hard to get over this feeling of seeing a Toronto team, or even a Canadian team, winning a championship. I don't know about you guys, but I think the rest of the Toronto is still hungover after the partying the last couple of days. You saw that the next day when they had to do the cleanup of the streets of Toronto. Of course, I gotta welcome back my co-host, Jake Middleton, Austin Owens. Gentlemen, how are we feeling today?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I mean, three quarters of Toronto was celebrating the championship, and the other quarter is trying to figure out how they can still sacrifice the Raptors to get a Leafs Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Those are Anyhow,
I'm happy.
I am happy too.
Yeah, I'm not one of that quarter, so
no.
I it's just really tough when you hear that sort of talk. Like, yeah, and what was even worse? I mean, I was working the night of the Raptors game, so you know, I had to kind of, as much as I wanted to celebrate and have the fun that everybody else was having,
you were down there though.
Well, I wasn't down there. This is literally how my night went. Working at Sportsnet, we put all the stuff up, and then it's about 1 o'clock. I'm trying to decide, do I go to the square or do I go home and write? As much as I wanted to celebrate in the square, I'm like, you have to take advantage of this time. And so, That's what I ended up doing, and I kind of regret not being in this part of the celebrations, but at the same time, just being a part of the night in and of itself, being a part of the coverage itself, I felt was a great honor in itself. So I can't complain about that. As that game went along, though, I was getting nervous there, because it did seem like we were gonna go back to game seven for quite a bit of that time.
Yeah, I got a little nervy there, but no, I think they deserve to win that. They probably deserve to win a couple more games than they lost, but it doesn't even matter. It is what it is.
Look, you know what? I think we tried to fantasize on it being perfect. No championship run is really ever perfect.
No.
And when you strive for perfection, that's usually where things go wrong.
Except maybe that Golden State one in 2016 when they went, 16-2 or 16-1?
Well, I mean, also the one where they absolutely destroyed the Cavs last year, like...
Yeah, they dismantled that team, but I don't know. That was without Kyrie as well, so... Anyway.
So, the parade is on Monday. I'm sure most, unfortunately, I don't know. Jake, it's unfortunate you're not able to come up to enjoy those ones.
No. It's all right, though. I will be watching all the coverage on Tuesday.
So this is a debate some people were having. So the parade route is you go from they go from the Raptors practice facility, which are on the exhibition grounds. Then they go to they go Lakeshore to the Scotiabank Arena, up York Street to Queen Street, and then. Queen Street, they get to Nathan Phillips Square. I understand that route because they wanted to go from the practice facility to the arena. But somebody brought up a good point in that Downsview Park is a massive, massive stadium. Like, yep. Massive area. Rogers Center, down the road. Why wouldn't you go there where you can gather the crowd? Now, I understand Rogers Center is not owned by MLSC, so that probably may not have been an option. But I've looked at past championship parades. You look at Chicago. You look at, when the Blackhawks won, they went to Soldier Field. That's the one. That's the Bears Stadium, right, Jake?
Yeah.
So I think they went to Soldier's Field. That's the part I know that the last like TFC they went to Nathan Phillips Square, the Argos did too, but I feel like it would be
the city of Toronto's grossly underestimating the crowd.
I think so. I personally think so.
And the magnitude of the situation.
Like Jake, I don't know how. Like, when was the last parade in New York?
The Giants in 2012.
Okay, and how did that one work out?
To be honest, I didn't go to it. I hate the Giants.
I know.
So I have no idea the parade route, but what do you mean, like attendance-wise?
Well, attendance-wise, where they held the festivities and all that. What do they usually do?
Oh, attendance-wise, I mean, it's like New York, right? People just love doing it, but where they went was... Like they want to, it was like lower Manhattan, I think. There was a ton of people there though.
I know we're gonna get to the game. It was just something I just recently saw and I had to bring up just in case I forgot. And I kind of wish it was done that way to accommodate, like just to gather the crowd all together. I know the streets of downtown are gonna be packed. Downtown kind of seems more intimate, but I would have preferred it to be in a bigger area that can, you know, you can have the crowd, when you address the crowd, it's going to be packed, everyone's going to be together, like, tight. I don't know if you guys remember the SARS concert back in 2003? I believe it was 2003. Like, they had, like, hundreds of thousands of people.
It's gonna be like that.
That's what I think it's gonna be like. I mean,
but I think they're thinking it's gonna be like Monday. Businesses aren't gonna let their employees go to work.
We're gonna
let them skip work rather. And it's just gonna be all good. Like, no, we were at Nathan Phillips, you and I, Dave, for the Toronto FC one.
Yeah.
And all due respect to Toronto FC, but that entire place was full.
Yeah,
and they weren't a big four sports team in the city.
No, and
or a big three.
It's not like, and I'm expecting people from outside of Toronto to come here, like Hamilton, Mississauga, you know, I heard a guy from, like, people from Grimsby, like, people are going to be coming from all over the place.
Yeah.
For this, I feel like it might be a little underwhelming that, but I mean, we don't know until
Toronto's
we see
a mess on a normal day.
Yeah, so we'll see about that. Let's talk about the game itself and what exactly turned the tide for the team. I mean, the fact that they got off to the start they did was big, because, you know, going into a hostile environment like Oracle Arena, the last thing you want to do is get the Warriors any sort of life. What exactly in that game, Jake, did you see that made you think they can do this today?
Initially it was the 3-point shooting. I mean, it's always, I think the whole part of the playoff for the Raptors was they were never going to shoot terribly twice in a row. In this series especially. I mean, I know it happened in the Philly series, but every time they shot terribly, like they shot terribly in game two, all the games they lost, they missed a lot of shots. And then they were really good at finding ways to make shots the next game. Like game three, they hit everything. Like Danny was hitting threes, and then this game they started out, like Kyle had what? Didn't he have the first 11 points or something like that? He had like 17 the first quarter. And that was the whole thing, basically. I mean, the fact that they just started making shots, because I think Golden State played perfect offensively. I mean, you had Andre Iguodala hitting contested looks. Clay was unconscious. The only one who wasn't really playing great was Steph. I thought Steph was off the entire game. But, you know, it was a very nerve-wracking scene where they were, because the Warriors just weren't missing shots. So the Raptors had to have brought their A game when it comes to shooting the ball. And when Siakam started to hit a couple threes that he hadn't hit all series, he hadn't hit one corner three all series, it was big for sure.
You know, when you look at that game and you saw the Raptors getting into a little bit of foul trouble early, and then, you know, It just seemed like there were moments where you just like you were like clenching yourself, and I don't know what the feeling would have been like if there was a game seven. Obviously,
fuck that.
I mean, look, if in fact things went the way they did, and Klay Thompson, you know, that torn ACL would have kept them out of it, you know, the Warriors would have been so massively shorthanded.
I mean,
still, it's one game. Yeah. You never know what can happen.
Oh, of course. I mean, I look at the fact that everyone's talking about the asterisk and putting that on the Raptors. First off, joke. You shouldn't care. Second off,
no, I don't care. They can put an asterisk. It happens. So piss off.
When you look at the Warriors, what was the main thing people were talking about the Warriors this season? You look at their starting five: Curry, Thompson, Durant, Draymond, Boogie. I mean, I know Cousins wasn't there to start the year, but they're rounding out their top, their starting five heading into the playoffs. How many teams would be begging to have at least one of those, even to have DeMarcus Cousins on their team?
20?
Like
20 teams?
DeMarcus Cousins signed for what, $1 million to go there?
It was like eight, but he had offers for like double that. Like,
yeah,
man,
super long term, like, deals.
Like, I don't think people realize, like, this Warriors team was just massively stacked.
They got six Hall of Famers.
I just don't understand where this idea that, oh, they had injuries. Like, it doesn't matter. You lose Durant, you still had the rest of that team. Oh, and then Klay gets hurt. But they still had how many other guys?
They swept the other team without him. Swept them. They went through the West. I mean, to be honest, the West is trash, but still.
I mean, when Klay goes down there, though, that's like, you can't tell me that team with how Klay was shooting, you didn't think that the time
was gonna turn. Klay was like a massive loss.
Yeah,
like, that
care.
Sucks, but, I mean, it is what it is. It's not like they were intentionally hurting him.
No, it's terrible for Klay, and honestly, just, I mean,
Clay's probably one of my favorite players in the whole league.
Clay and Steph, you can't hate them. Is what I've been saying all series, because they're so goddamn good at basketball.
No, exactly.
But like when he went down, and as soon as he got pulled after he hit those free throws, you kind of knew he was done. Like he might have come back and sat on the bench just to maybe give them a shade or give them some semblance that he was coming back, but. Yeah, like that team with just Curry, the way they were playing, doesn't really scare me, especially since he wasn't doing a whole lot. Like, Iguodala's gonna great. They had your Rebko out there guarding Lowry down the stretch.
Yep. Which is a joke.
Am I supposed to be scared of that team?
No, I mean, I think
Durant, you know, and Clay on that team, yes, I'm scared shitless of that team.
Yeah. Even just Durant, I'd rather have Clay play than Durant. Durant is the last player I'd want to see play.
Yeah.
I think out of the three, Steph, Clay, and Durant, Steph might be the least scared I am between those two.
Incredible.
I mean, Clay had what? Didn't Clay have 37 points in one quarter?
Yep. And then he had 26, I believe, a month later.
Yeah, And he had 60 in three quarters against the Pacers. I mean, he's a guy that just – I think when he catches fire, he might be the greatest – yeah, I think he might be the best shooter ever. I think he's probably better than Steph, because Steph can put up 60, but he can't put up – I've never seen Steph put up 37 and a quarter or 60 in three quarters, because Clay, when he was hitting shots like he was in game six, is just unguardable.
You look at the point, and it's not just that, it's the plus minus, because Clay does it at both ends. I mean...
He's probably great. One of the best two-way players in the league. It's a joke that he wasn't on the All-NBA teams, too.
The only time he's ever really struggled, there were a couple times during the OKC series in 2016, that he had a couple of games, but for the most part... If you ever look at his plus-minus differential, oh boy. And against really good teams, too. Like, we're not talking about... Yeah, okay, he did well against Portland, but, like, against the Rockets, against OKC when they were stacked and Durant was still there. San Antonio, minus Kawhi. Like, these were legit teams that they had. Like, there was times where the West... had, you know, maybe Houston was probably the only team that could have tried to match what the Warriors had. But, that was a big loss. I mean, I give Bob Myers a lot of credit, because it seemed like he was the one that made that.
I think he's the one that said no.
Well, you saw him out.
You saw him in the tunnel.
You know, after all the scrutiny he took for the Kevin Durant stuff, for him to, like, that's where you, as a president, you're just, I'm not making this mistake twice.
No, you just can't.
And he's the guy that had to jump on the grenade for the organization. I mean, like, fuck. I don't know. That it's not just a him decision, Kevin Durant's thing. But he's the guy that had to eat it for the entire team.
Mm-hmm.
So, the fact that he did that, I'd respect him for it, because... You know, we talk about, I mean, the whole thing with Durant and the Raptors fans cheering. We all collectively here are never cheering for injury, no matter what series. Nobody wants to see Clay go down, because it's bad for the game.
You never want to see any player.
You don't want to see any of them go down. Like,
no,
if
KD
they
either.
if they roll an ankle and are out a week, fine. But you don't want to see a guy get torn ACL, torn Achilles. Like, those are like career-altering injuries.
Yeah. Especially in a sport where you need your legs.
Yep.
Like, they're pretty much the most... Your legs and your hands, the most integral part of basketball.
Yeah.
And one of those, like, the Raptors, I mean, Lowry and Van Vliet both missed time with thumb injuries. Lowry was battling through it in the playoffs. And you need them. That's very... I mean, I'm pointing out the obvious here, but...
And you knew Kawhi was hurt, too.
Yeah. Find out what's wrong with him in the next coming days, I'm sure. what the news is going to start rolling out with the Raptors, because Lowry said, I believe in an interview with Rachel Nichols before game six, that he's going to need surgery like immediately after they're done celebrating this week. So his thumb's destroyed right now.
I mean, it was in bad. It wasn't to the point where he couldn't play, and that was key for him, I think.
Well, he said it was shot up full of painkiller.
Yeah.
Or some sort of shot.
And when you look back at, I mean, and now you look going forward, there was a lot of talk yesterday about how different the West could look next year. You know, the Warriors not having Klay and Durant, that's massive for them.
Yeah, they'll still be a playoff team. They'll probably be like a top. They're still probably be in contention for a top four seed, so they'll get home court. But they're probably not going to compete for the 1, 2, or 3 seed. I mean, I don't think very highly of the West. I'm not like other shills who think it's like the greatest conference ever assembled. I mean, there's one championship caliber team. There's 7 solid playoff teams.
Yeah.
I don't think a single playoff team outside of Golden State would beat in a series Philadelphia, Toronto, or Milwaukee. I just don't see it. I think all those teams in the East I mentioned, they would sweep Portland. I think they'd probably beat Utah in 5. They'd destroy the Rockets. I mean,
even Boston would be in that with like being able to take out these West teams.
I don't think so. I think Boston's really overrated. I don't think they're a good team at all. But I mean, like Denver, like they played horrible. Portland's not that good. Utah's okay. OKC, I mean, you got fucking Russell Westbrook, who's going to take 50 shots and make 5. The Spurs are just an average team, and then you get the Clippers. Like, what? You going to have bench players beat you? Come on.
So how much does free agency change now?
Oh, a lot. So much. I mean, you look at all the teams that were potentially going to be made super teams, like the Knicks. That's done. I love it. It's so sad. Because you had Knicks fans who thought they were going to get like Zion, Durant, and Kyrie. Irving. Now they're going to get RJ Barrett, who's still pretty good. He's not Zion. Kevin Durant. I actually think this helps them get Kevin Durant, because they're going to offer him the fucking max anyway. They're that desperate. But he won't be out for a season, and Kyrie's apparently going to the Nets.
Which,
what if they don't take RJ?
They don't. They are stupid.
No, I know. That's unbelievable. I meant to ask Stephen A. about that. I mean, he had RJ on with the what was it, when they were in Oakland? They had RJ on, and he was grilling him about it. But like, what if they don't? Because they were
going after that Culver.
Kid. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be so stupid.
There is a top 3, and it would be so Knicks.
You even think that, just trade it down. If you don't think he's that, trade it down, because you'll get.
Exactly.
I think you could get every single draft pick that the Hawks have, which is 3 first rounders and 3 seconds for that 3rd pick.
Yeah, because there's a team that's going to desperately want RJ. Because
wouldn't he's very good. Watch him play without Zion. He averaged like 25.
Is it 6 stretch to say he's the best player in the draft? Like, if Zion wasn't this crazy athletic freak, that RJ would be the number 1 pick.
Probably.
I think the hype train on Zion is just that he dunks everything.
Well,
he's
amazing. I mean,
he's incredible. I'm not shitting on Zion.
I just think his game has like a peak. I don't see him being like LeBron James, because I think his peak is Giannis. Right now, I think now his comparable is Blake Griffin, a guy who's just an athletic freak, and he's just has all these so many flash plays where you're like, oh my god, but he's not like a Kevin Durant. He just doesn't have the touch for that. And in basketball nowadays, I mean, we saw with Giannis, those guys that can't shoot, they get exposed. And I love Zion, but he's not a good shooter. He doesn't, I mean, which is fine, but he was just so physically dominant in college. It'll be interesting to see him play in the NBA. I think he'll be a great player, though.
Yeah,
I think no doubt about it. He'll be a double-double machine.
I just got to stick with the Canadian kid.
Yeah, I like RJ, but they're completely different players.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
RJ's more like a James Harden, like a slasher. He's a lefty. He's got to get better shot too. He's not really a great shooter, but I mean, then again, these guys didn't have this as their full-time job, so you'll assume they'll become better shooters over time. They usually do.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, when you look at the rest, I mean, the draft is going to be very interesting because, you know, Anthony Davis's situation. I expect that to be resolved around the draft because a team's going to offer something stupid for him. And then when you look at between now and the draft or even free agency, we know the biggest question in Toronto is Kawhi. I mean, June 30th is free agency. I don't expect Kawhi to make the decision at free agency. I think this could go into the summer.
Well, he has to opt in of his deal. I think it's the 27th, which he'll obviously opt out.
He's opting out.
He'd be retarded if he didn't opt out. But then I'm not sure if they changed it in the NBA too. I think they did, where you can talk to free agents before July 1st. I know they changed it in the NHL because of the tampering thing and the garbage surrounding that. But I don't know. Kawhi doesn't really strike me as a guy that would take meetings. I don't think he's going to take meetings.
No.
I don't think he's going to travel around and go to meetings. I think he already knows the teams that are interested in him and the ones that he is interested in. And what we've been hearing is it's probably the Clippers or the Raptors. And, I mean, the Raptors don't really have to make a pitch. I would just be like, show him the picture of him with the Finals MVP and the Larry O'Brien trophy. But I mean, it comes down to one thing. It's, does he want to be near his family and his home in LA, which is, if he chooses there, that's the only reason why, and that was never going to change. But if it's for basketball reasons, there's no reason to leave. But yeah, he doesn't strike me as a guy who's gonna try and drag this out. I don't think it's gonna go quickly, but I don't think there's gonna be consistent stories about it either.
Okay, so just to give you, Jake is right, there is a negotiating period. It actually starts on June 30th, and then deals can't become official until July 6th.
And yeah, it's earlier now, but, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's when they just are like, oh, they are in agreement on this deal, wink, wink. And then they all get immediately signed in fucking 5 minutes.
That's like when DeAndre Jordan was going to sign a couple years ago, and what was it? The Clippers locked him in his house.
Was that whole social media thing? He had a contract with the Mavericks, and then all the Clippers went to his house, and they locked him in his house. And Mark Cuban was trying to get in contact with him, and he fly to his house. And
the NBA and had is that, the greatest spectacle in sports.
Oh, so then I just remember the Twitter feed when you had
every player with an emoji.
Yeah, you had Blake Griffin with a helicopter and stuff like that, and Chris Paul. That was really fun. I remember tracking that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we can't really be upset if Kawhi goes.
He did what he came here to do. He did his job. I mean, he was the ultimate professional. He can't. Obviously, we saw the Chris Haynes tweet that said he has no desire to even play there, and turns
and
out
then
he did.
What happened?
And then at the end, he says it was the most fun he had in an NBA season. And I mean, they gave the perfect pitch they could have. And if he leaves, it's only for one reason. It's not for basketball. It's for his life. And I mean, we obviously know his life story with his dad and everything like that. So I mean, I couldn't blame him. But I mean, if he means what he says, which is the most important thing. Most important thing to him is winning, then he's probably going to stay. In my opinion, I think he's going to re-sign. He'll do the 2+1, the 3-year deal with the opt-out after the second year, and then he'd be eligible for a super max because he'd have 10 years and he'd be an all-star. So that's what LeBron did. He always did that 2+1.
Yeah, that's the thing that they were debating yesterday on Overdrive, which was, you know, Jeff O'Neill made a good point in that, you know, he now gets to finally decide what he wants to do. Because as much as he enjoyed being in Toronto, how it all worked out, it wasn't his choice.
No.
And so that could play into, you know, I finally get a choice, you know, my chance to make the choice I want to make. So that's a factor. But, I mean, Jake, you put it perfectly, which is, you know, he's won here. He's already established a relationship with the medical staff, the coaches. Like, it's not like the Raptors, this core, like, what they have right now is just going to all leave next year. This core is locked into next year, too.
Yep.
You know, they could probably add some better bench players. You know, just OG being, even having OG back and healthy would be a big add there. And then, you know, you go around, you just build around it. I think, you know, people are talking about the East and how it's becoming the better conference. I mean, we'll see with what happens with the Nets and the Knicks. I mean, I don't know, Jake, do you expect the Knicks to be a playoff team?
If they do sign Kevin Durant, no.
I
don't know. The Knicks are really dumb, so it wouldn't surprise me if they gave up their bounty of picks and young players for Anthony Davis. I think that now that Durant is officially out for like a full season, unless they make, I don't know, maybe the second round of the playoffs, it's unlikely that they do that. But I don't know what they are doing with anything, so...
I was going to say, when you look at Kawhi, we'll make this about Kawhi. What would be the biggest factor, you know, free agency-wise? Because we all hear about the Clippers. I think the Lakers are not an option.
No, I don't see it at all.
So it's pretty much coming down to the Raptors or the Clippers, right?
Yeah, that's what... Yeah, I think so.
I just don't know how the Clippers can sell him like the Raptors can.
I mean, for basketball, they can't. I think their whole pitch is basically got to be like, we are the same state as where your family is right now. That's about it. I mean, I like the Clippers. I like watching the Clippers. They have a lot of, you know, good young players. They got former Raptor Lou Williams. Mm-hmm. They got some nice pieces. They got Landry Shamet, who's a good young shooter. They got the young Canadian kid, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I think is a good player. I love Montrezl Harrell. But, I mean, I just don't – it's just very unlikely for teams to come out of nowhere without an existing superstar and create a super team. We've never seen it. Like, the only ones that we've seen, super teams, have because – other superstars go and join other superstars. It's very rare that a guy just goes, you know what, I want to make a team by myself and have people come to me. It just doesn't happen.
So, I had one thing quick before we do, because we were talking about Durant and the Knicks. Bleacher Report just released, I think it's a story, and they're saying post-Achilles Kevin Durant might never be Kevin Durant again, according to a doctor and a trainer. And, quote, he's not going to be an 82-game-a-year guy.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, you have no idea. It's if you look at the history of it, I think Charles Barkley had it, Kobe had it. Didn't, like, Clyde Drexler have it or something like that? And it just ruins it because it's such a tough injury to come back from. I mean, Boogie Cousins had it. He looked terrible at points during the season.
He was not moving well at points this series either.
It's taken down lesser men than him, but pretty close to him. I'd still max him out if I was a desperate team like the Knicks, but I don't know how that would make sense for you as Golden State to just offer him like a 5-year max. Especially knowing that, you know, Clay is out for a year and he'll probably be back by maybe the start of the playoffs next year. But Draymond's about to be 30. Steph is 30. I think Golden State probably has like 2 or 3 more years with this current core before they have to, you know, they get aged out and they can't play. But right now, I would focus on trying to get bench pieces around it. And I think there's obviously going to have be interest in playing for Golden State. They've been to 5 freaking straight finals. But yeah, I'm not really sure.
The one thing I wanted to bring up about this Raptors run and how, and the one thing I appreciated the most about this was the disproving of everybody who thought that putting together 3, 4, 5 stars on a team is the only way to win a championship now in the NBA. Like, look, Kawhi, superstar. Kyle Lowry,
an all-star.
He's an all-star, but not a superstar like Clay, Curry, Durant, and all that. I think, hopefully, and the NBA should hope this what this does too, is teams go, you know what? If we get a superstar player and build around him with a good foundation, we can be competitive. And I think for the
NBA... Oh, of course, but, I mean, we saw it with DeMar DeRozan. You can be competitive, but you get really frustrated doing it, just hitting your head on the glass ceiling. But I think the thing is you have to have one of those superstars.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. And they are so hard to find. There's probably, what, maybe 10, 15 of them in the league? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have one of them, you're probably going nowhere.
I think that's probably that has become the issue in all sports, in that as much as leagues want parity and, you know, all teams to have a chance, the talent is just, there's not enough superstar talent to go around. There's not.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, right now, superstars in basketball specifically, superstars win your championships.
Oh, of course, 100%.
The idea of, oh, they didn't want it enough, or hard work beats skill. No.
Yeah, it's terrible.
There's a reason why teams like the Clippers, the Pacers, the Boston Celtics, the Magic, teams that just have a lot of really good players, they're losing. They're losing to superstars. It was like the Raptors. They just would always lose to LeBron James because he could have 9 children on his team. But because he's so much better than any player on the Raptors, he's going to win. That's generally how you win series. You have to have the best player. And that was true for the Raptors the whole time. You look back at every single playoff series, most of the time the Raptors lost was because they went against the best player.
Now, if you're the Raptors and Kawhi doesn't stay, what do you do?
That's interesting. There was actually a good article by Zach Lowe who kind of breaks it down really well. But he kind of broke it down to 3 separate things. If Kawhi stays, and then if Kawhi goes, what you do. The 2 options are you either unload money, like you can unload guys like Gasol, Serge, Lowry. You could probably get like decent value for them because they're on all of them are on expiring deals. Now they're champions too. You would obviously let Danny go, and you'd do a complete rebuild. And you'd have some good young pieces in guys like Pascal and OG and Fred and other guys like that. But the more likely one would be they just run it back with that same core. They use the cap space that they get from, you know, Danny Green and Kawhi, and they try and run it back. They'd probably be at max like a second-round team. But they'd still definitely be a pretty good team. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not really sure where they would go in terms of free agency, who would have interest, but you'd have to find obviously a 3 to replace him. And there are a couple good ones, but obviously none at his level.
Does this change maybe the minds of some NBA players to come up here in the future?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the fact that they won a championship, they got over the hump, and you saw all the hype from the country, the city, and stuff like that. I mean, it's more now not just like a basketball outpost, it's now a place where basketball matters. I mean, where would you rather, like, right now, before, maybe a couple of years ago, the Raptors were probably in the 30 team mix, they're probably in the 20s. Now I think they're probably inside the top 10. They're not 1, 2, 3, or 4, but they're definitely in the top 10.
What do you think would be the number one, though, Austin? Who do you think?
Number one team to go to?
Yeah.
For me, it's Miami. Miami.
Really? Oh, because of the cap?
Yeah. No taxes, perfect weather, and whew, that would be a fun spot to play. Miami just always gets these big free agents.
Yeah.
They always find a way to get somebody. They're always in meetings with these guys. Like, I remember every time there's interest in it, because they got Pat Riley, they got Spoelstra, who's a great coach. And hell, I think their teams suck right now, and they still almost make the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very well run. For me, it's Miami.
It's an easy, for me, it's the Lakers. Just LeBron, their history, the location. I mean, there's a lot of people that want to go play with LeBron, and him being in L.A. rather than Cleveland definitely helps.
Golden State's up there, too.
Yep. New York's up there, the Knicks. Boston.
Boston, Chicago's in there.
Yeah. New Orleans. No.
That's maybe Chicago, like I said.
It's just the big cities in the U.S. that people want to go. Those are the most likely candidates to me.
Yeah.
And Toronto's up there, because now it's not a secret anymore. I mean, Toronto's a massive city that people love. Like, NBA players, broadcasters, everyone just says when they come out here how much fun and how much they enjoy the city. And it's no secret anymore how class of a city Toronto is. And then you put in there that they have an NBA champion and young stars that are still coming up, Van Vliet, Siakam, OG. Like, this is an exciting situation. The issue is the Raptors have some contracts that make it so they can't really add. Like,
not,
we were
not
never
this year,
to,
not this year, not but this next year. Year. Next year they have like $60 million in cap space.
Because Kyle and Serge are off the books.
And Gasol, unless he opts out this year, which I very highly doubt. He's
also
due like $25 million.
Side note, just because I'm just remembering it now, shout out to the boy Jonas Valanciunas. That guy opted out after having an awesome second half with Memphis.
Yeah, for long-term security. These guys do things I wouldn't do.
No, not the smartest decision, but I think he averaged like close to 20 points a game when he
went. Yeah, he was like a double-double machine.
Yeah, he was a beast, so good for him. I mean, yep. And he came back, like, I mean, it's a thing for Toronto when all these former players, Jonas was at a playoff game this year for the Raptors less than 6 months after they traded him.
Bismack Biyombo was there too.
Yeah, Bismack was there.
Tracy McGrady showed up. Granted, he was working the broadcast for ESPN, so a little different. VC started showing up at the end, which is really cool. JYD was at every game. I mean, like, these guys come back because it's just a special atmosphere. Toronto's just different, and they've proven that with the Jays. They've proven that with the Raptors over the last 5 years. And the Leafs, I mean, I won't change my opinion. The Leafs are a suit fest, so whatever.
So, I mean, when you look at the Raptors going forward, that's going to be a big question. But we already know that as long as Masai is here, he will put this team in the right spot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is why that report that Woj put out, it literally came, 10 minutes after they won?
Five.
As he was doing his interview with Doris Burke, the tweet dropped. Masai.
It
was five.
So, first and foremost, that's a real dick move. I know why he's doing it, but my God. The Wizards couldn't.
I saw some of the comments were pretty funny. Like, it was from Steve Dangle, who I was like, whoa, that's actually Steve. And he's like, have you ever just gone to a birthday party and taken a dump on the cake? Which is pretty funny.
That's pretty much what they did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got to do his job, and I have no problem with that. But it would have been better if it was maybe the day after. But if he wasn't going to drop it, somebody else would. So.
Yeah, Shams would have done it.
Yeah, exactly.
So he didn't really have a choice. That's sort of the thing. Is it's the big thing in the NBA is now Shams versus Woj. So if you're not first, you're last.
Oh, and you'll get... Oh, I love all the memes.
Oh, yeah. You'll get ripped. If Woj hadn't have put that out and Shams would have dropped it, Woj would have heard about it for a week.
Or he would have posted it later, and it would have just been memes of Shams dunking on him.
Woj's, you know what I love? I ended up seeing Woj and Shams at the finals, and they just regular dudes. Like, I don't know what I was expecting, but Woj literally walked past me. I was watching Raptors or the Warriors practice before they closed it off to the public, and Woj walked right past me, but no suit or anything. He was just in a t-shirt. I didn't know who the hell he was until he turned around and walked past me again.
I know him because of his goofy glasses.
Yeah, that's why I was like, the face he has in his Twitter profile, it's just how he, like, there's no smile or anything. It's just sort of, he's just business, which is cool. Yeah, Shams is cool too. I don't know. I like Woj better because he's the first guy I sort of saw breaking rumors, but I don't know. They both do a good job. It's just, yeah, Woj is doing his job and people are going to rip him for it. But
oh, I mean, yeah.
That's his business, is reporting stuff.
So how laughable is this report?
Shout out the Warriors. I mean, or not the Warriors, the Wizards. Man, they're in a bad way. Bradley Beal's going to get, you think.
I mean, they're just so desperate. Like, yeah. Offering a fucking general manager ownership stake? The fuck is that?
John Wall's going to miss ridiculous.
$10 million? I mean, God bless them. That's a ridiculous offer. That's how you get guys to take shitty jobs. But that Wizards job is horrible.
No. That first rule, that first thing of business he has to do is try and find somebody to take John Wall, who's going to get, what, $30 million to sit out the entire season?
Or I think he gets like, I think he's making like $37
million. You're going to have to find a team that'll take a $40 million John Wall, who's not even going to play this season. Yeah, who can't score from anywhere but under the rim.
So, yep. Yeah.
And Bradley Beal's incredible, but like, he's not going to stick around if Wall's not playing.
Guys, this contract's bad.
John Wall's deal when he is 32, he got the Supermax, right? It was 4x 170. So his 32-year-old contract is for $47.3 million.
Holy shit.
And he's got a 15% trade kicker.
That whoever his agent is, God bless him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's going.
That man in the Hall of Fame.
15% trade kicker. Someone do 47 times 1.15. That's like $58 million. Who the fuck is going to do that?
No. So like, even basically,
for me to consider that, I would need Bradley Beal and their first-round pick this year and next year and maybe the year after just to take that.
Yeah.
$50 million for a point guard.
Jake, you said $54 million?
I said 54.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You know math. We don't.
But they're offering him $10 million a year to go. I mean, he was in a worse way when he took over the Raptors. I mean, man, we talked about this in our chat yesterday. Space. That wizardry with Andrea Bargnani and the Knicks.
Yeah, that was
my God. Three picks and three players for a guy that averaged 12.7 points, three rebounds, and one assist a game the season before they traded him. And you got three players, regardless of who they are, you got three bodies and three picks for that guy.
Yeah, that's incredible. And those picks turned into Jakob Poeltl and DeLon Wright, who were parts of the
Marc Gasol
and Kawhi Leonard, yeah.
Two starters on the Raptors down the stretch.
I just don't understand why Masai would even consider going to an even worse situation. And it's just so much. Like, if he were to
able, is he's turned down worse. He's turned down way better jobs. He turned down the Knicks job. Yeah. The Knicks job is basically they'll pay you fucking anything. They gave like Phil Jackson $15 million a year.
Yeah, it's just, it's unbelievable. And I mean, if they want to blow that money on Masai, then great. But he also, I mean, we've been talking about this with
he's one of the highest paid GMs in the league. He should get re-signed for a lot of money.
Absolutely.
I mean, the thing I saw was they had Caron Butler on there. Like, I don't know how they can match that financially. I'm like, what? What do you think? They're a mom and pop shop? They're in the luxury tax. They had the third highest payroll in the league. Just so many incredible. People just think it's they're run by like these poor people. No. Yeah. Money is not going to be a reason to win. The only way he wins is if he has some emotional connection or wants to build some legacy, but I don't really see it, especially with the roots he's been put down and what MLSE offers him with his foundation with Giants of Africa and stuff like that. Yeah. People had ideas because his wife is from Maryland, I'm pretty sure, and he would be close to Washington, D.C. to work with like political stuff. But I think the thing that helps the Raptors is right now the political climate in the United States probably is not the right time for Masai Ujiri, especially considering he's from one of those quote-unquote shithole countries. Yeah, probably not the best mix of people.
No, I just don't, and look, Masai embraced this whole us against everyone mentality. Like, he's the one that saw that as a challenge rather than, you know, I just look back to that that interview or the Kawhi Leonard press conference where he basically cuts off the question and says, believe in yourself, like believe in this city. How do you want to leave that after you just made that vote of confidence?
I don't know. The thing I love is when all these guys say it's pretty hard to leave a championship and then they all just come up with these theories for guys leaving. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Yep. It just makes you wonder what possibly would you have to do for them to change their opinion. And it's nothing. When you start to realize nothing, that's when you start to get a better glimpse of the reality of the situation, especially with, you know, like American commentators and stuff like that.
And let's also bring up the fact that MLSC will pay whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you, I just got...
Probably
I,
not offer ownership stake, but...
Yeah, they're not... MLSC won't give
it. There's no way they're doing that.
No. Nor should you. That's ridiculous. No. It's a GM. It's not a player.
Exactly. Remember, I'll never forget, the only time I've ever seen anything similar was when Bobby Orr had two offers from the Blackhawks and from the Bruins. I don't know if you remember this story with Allan Eagleson, and he pretty much screwed Bobby Orr because the Bruins were offering him ownership stake, but the Blackhawks were technically offering more money. But it wasn't presented that way, and he chose the Blackhawks offer. And
yeah.
Look, I understand NBA ownership stakes are a lot, like they're pretty valuable considering what the league generates as revenue. But I just look at what he's done here in Toronto. He should be here as long as if he doesn't want to be here, that's another question. Like, that's a different situation. I don't think that's the case. So, I think MLSC will compensate him pretty well. I mean, you also look at... I just saw a note from Real Sports saying they've restocked their shelves. And I guarantee, once people see that, that's going to be...
It won't be stocked for long.
It won't be stocked for long.
I was down there yesterday. It was a gong show.
There's over 1,000 people trying to get into that little store.
So I left work yesterday at 7:30, so it would have been about an hour and a half before Real Sports closed, and there was still a line. It wasn't wrapped around because they had guardrails, but it was from the front doors of Real Sports to the other end of the concourse still, which is just silly. But it's good. I'm very happy that people are supporting the Raptors, but... Man, I looked at that line and I immediately bought my hat. I bought the championship hat on Lids, and I paid extra for it for shipping, but fuck it, I'm not standing in that line.
No.
I mean, I'm trying to get some stuff online and most of the websites are saying that it won't ship out until like the end of the month.
Yep.
The only thing I saw, there was a Pascal Siakam jersey that was at the store and they also had the finals patch. I should have got it at the time, but yeah, it's hindsight. Whatever. I kind of want a Kawhi jersey rather than anything if I get anyone. But I'll wait till he signs. If he signs.
It just makes you really wonder When the Blue Jays and Leafs finally get their shit together, what this could do. I mean, look, the Raptors have, like, this is massive. First ever championship in franchise history, a historic moment. You get what the Blue Jays, if they ever get to the World Series, what that will be like. Because as big as, you know, the Raptors are in this country, oh, the Blue Jays are pretty massive too. Considering the history they have, how long they've been here, and the Leafs. Like, people were worried about what Toronto would be like after the Raptors won. Imagine what the city would be like if the Leafs were to win. Like, I would think that the city would, I don't know if it would survive. When you look at it at all.
I don't know. I think it would be pretty close.
I mean, I personally think Toronto will, like, the thing about the Raptors is the global pull from all around the country.
Yeah, it would be pretty close to me, though.
Because you're not going to see, like, out in Saskatchewan, they're not going to do a watch party for the Leafs.
Because, you know what the coolest thing for me would be the Raptors should do? Is they should just do a tour on the off season of Canada. Like, send a couple players with the championship. Like what the Jays do with their Winterfest.
That would be cool.
Send a couple players out to each province and just do a, like, a little thing.
I would send the trophy out. If some guys want to go, I would do it, but...
Yeah. No, I'm not saying you take the whole team on a tour of Canada for the entire season.
Yeah,
because nobody wants that.
No, but, like, I would not want that.
Take, like, three guys for, like, go to Regina or something, and then another three guys go to, like, fucking Edmonton.
Well, you'd think, like, they do that. Don't they do preseason games?
Well, they did the one in Vancouver, yeah.
Yeah.
But they have
to... I just think that'd be cool. But then again, I don't think the Jays did that when they won back in 92-93, so... I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, I also think that, you know, they should do something to celebrate the fact that all Canada were pulling for this team. Like, the way that all the, like, Mississauga, even the Mississauga one, no offense to Jurassic Park in front of the stadium, holy crap, the Mississauga one.
Mississauga. Yeah.
Ridiculous. And then, you know, they had, like, Halifax had it, so Regina had one. They're, like, all over the place, and I think that's an underrated aspect of this. Yep. And we'll see how. I mean, look, if you're a Blue Jays player and you saw this, if you're a Leafs player and you saw it, how does that not motivate you more to win?
Yeah,
we talked about how if the Leafs were to win, how many statues would be built of that team. Like, hopefully. And the great thing is, you know, we hear Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas say how they lean on Masai and his leadership. And you just hope that, I mean, look, it can't all translate to hockey, like what the NBA and how that works. But I think some of the qualities and, you know, doing what it takes to win, I hope that, you know, you look at Kyle Dubas and people have been questioning his loyalties in ways of to certain players. Hopefully this makes him realize, look, it's not about making people happy. I mean, making people happy is winning, and, you know, in that regard, I hope he just realizes that, you know, the team comes first, and the players will understand that, I think.
Yeah.
Just my personal rant on that. With that being said, gentlemen, do you have any final thoughts on this Raptors historical win?
No, I mean, it was amazing to go through it all, and I think if I had one complaint, it would be how anticlimactic the ending was.
Oh, thank you. I forgot about that.
I hated that.
That was...
Just the fact that they reviewed it, it's like, okay, they don't have a timeout, it's a tech, go to the line for one, and it took them like 10 minutes to realize. I think they said on overdrive it was 7 minutes for them to complete the final minute or final 30 seconds. It's like, that's ridiculous. And then the foul, it's like, okay, go to the line, shoot two, who cares? Then end the game.
The biggest
that kind of stung it for me a little bit.
That sucks so much of the energy out. Holy smoke. Like, there was guys, I think when Draymond had gone down and took the timeout, everyone, like, people in the office were celebrating. And I was like, the game's not over. Like, I'm not the person that's like, obviously the Raptors, like, pretty much sealed it at that point, but it's like, you want to celebrate when the buzzer goes off and all the players are celebrating. That's when you celebrate. And that was just such a... This is the part about the NBA is just like, who... Just play it out. Like, in hockey, that wouldn't happen. Unless it was like a blatant puck over glass.
It reminded me of that Patrick Kane goal in the Cup Final.
Oh, yeah. Like,
is that in or is it not?
He's celebrating and everyone's just like...
Oh, yeah.
What the heck? Everyone's like, what the... I was just like... I remember watching that game and I'm just like, did it go in? Like, you see Patrick Kane celebrating. It's like, no way. And then, obviously, yeah, that part... Now I'm pissed off again. Thanks, Jake. Just reminded me of that.
It's all right.
Oh, my God. I mean, I told you guys that... I mean, I woke up in the worst mood this morning after last night. Jesus Christ. With all the... Literally, I get home from a stag. It's about 1 o'clock. I'm about to go to bed. Friggin' terrible music. For 2:45 in the morning. I was close to, you know, going all get my bat and be like, shut your damn music off. Get off my lawn.
Dave's not a fan of High School Musical.
Oh my. I could not believe. And they started playing this.
I don't have a fan of music. Trash music. Get out of here.
Look, if. And it was loud. Like, 2 o'clock in the morning, if you're talking, just hanging out, that's fine. When you're blaring music, I think my brother actually made a call, actually called the cops to complain. And then they're like, okay, we'll send someone over. Then they called my brother back at like 2:45 or 3 o'clock. And they're like, are they still partying? I'm like, well, you said you were going to send someone over, you dipshits. That ends my rant there. Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you get to enjoy the parade on Monday. We'll do our best. I mean, Austin, you going?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, so
you find a spot somewhere.
Austin and I will.
Are you off?
Oh, I'm working at 4, so I'll be there.
Oh, we're meeting up. Let's go.
I don't know where we're going to go, what the best
option. Well, I'm going to show up at Nathan Phillips at some point, and it's going to be full, and then I'm going to find another spot to stand.
There are areas you could go if you... It's going to be tough. It's going to be a grind to find a spot. So
we're going to have to get there early if you want a spot. Like, the TFC one was okay. We showed up, like, as they were doing the parade, and we got a spot in Nathan Phillips. Raptors, you're going to have to be there... a while ahead.
My recommendation for you Raptors fans, you really have to decide where you want to be. Do you want to be at the end of the parade route? Because I personally think if you're on the lakeshore, this parade is going to go pretty slow. So you're going to see the guys celebrating on the buses and all that stuff. That might be your best bet. Jake, I guess you'll be watching on TV.
Yep, that's the best I can do. Important things to do on Monday, unfortunately. If they won on earlier, I would have been able to go, or later, but yeah, just a bad scheduling conflict, unfortunately. But I will be up during the summer, so that will be fun regardless.
Ooh. Just make sure that when the Leafs win, you clear your schedule. Here.
I will.
Here. All right. With that being said, please take the time to subscribe on wherever you get your podcast from, whether it be iTunes, Google Play, and all those. We would gladly appreciate it, and we'll be back next time. I think we'll try to get one out around the NHL draft. We have our mock draft coming up soon. I gotta do my prep work for that.
Go check out my rankings to do your prep work for that.
Those rankings will be out on Sunday. I forgot to tell Austin, I decided to put them out on Sunday. I was going to put them out today, but they will be out on Sunday, so you guys have some nice reading material to get you through that. Obviously, the Raptors and Leafs do not have first-round picks in their drafts, so...
get ready for rounds 2 and 3. In the NHL, round 2 in the NBA.
And then, we'll have free agency to talk about leading up to it. What are the Leafs going to do? What's the latest on the Kawhi situation, even though we probably won't get any update because it is Kawhi. So stay tuned for that, and we'll catch you guys next time. Yeah.
the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.